These accounts of the resurrection of Jesus as he is revealed to his disciples alive, though they had seen him crucified and buried, we see often the extraordinary in the midst of the very familiar. And so it is that Jesus is revealed to the apostles in the midst of their familiar setting. Peter says, "Let's go fishing. We're sitting here waiting for something to happen. Let's go fishing." And throughout the night, they catch nothing. If you know the scriptures well, there's already something resonating in your mind and heart. Very early in the morning, as it seems they are coming in from the evening of fishing, there's a stranger on the shore who asks if they've caught anything and then asks them to cast out their nets. They, for whatever reason, obey, do what he asks, and immediately they catch a large number of fish. They're not able to pull it in. This very familiar scene to them, which is very similar to what happened the day when Peter, James, and John were called to follow Jesus after their miraculous catch of fish, jogs their memory, and they recognize it is the Lord. It is Jesus. So in the midst of this very familiar setting, the risen Jesus is revealed to them. Now after this encounter with him, it seems that Jesus pulls Peter aside and he asks him this question, "But do you love me? Do you love me more than these, Simon?" And Peter three times is able to reply, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." For each time that he denied even knowing Jesus, his closest friend, the one whom he had called Lord, now he has three times that he is able to affirm his love for Jesus, his faith in him. And at the end of that, there's this cryptic, these cryptic words of Jesus. He says, "Simon, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted." Strange thing to say. But then he says, "When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." What he's referring to, it seems, is his own death, his own suffering. In his passion, our Lord Jesus, someone else dressed him. They clothed him in these royal robes to mock him. And then on the cross, they stretched out his hands. They led him to where he did not want to go. No human wants to die. And in saying that this is Peter's path, this is the way that Peter will go, he is saying that although not long ago you denied even knowing me, and although just days ago you locked yourself up in the room out of fear, now you will follow me in my persecution and even in my death. He is giving Peter a clear indication of by what kind of death he will glorify God. Now Peter, we see immediately, he takes all this role seriously. He is revealed in through the Acts of the Apostles as a changed man, as someone who has truly been transformed. No longer is he afraid. No longer is he self-conscious. Right? We heard in the Gospel that he was distressed that Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me? What is Jesus trying to say to me?" No longer is he caught up in that self-consciousness. No longer is he inclined to protect himself or to please others. Now he says, I must please God rather than men. And although the authorities forbid him from speaking in the name of Jesus, he, together with the other apostles, is spreading his name and the saving truth of his resurrection throughout all of the city of Jerusalem. Peter is truly a changed man after this encounter with the risen Lord. So he's proclaiming the truth of the saving death and resurrection of Jesus even before those who have authority over him, those of great import. We hear in the Acts of the Apostles the content of this message. It says that you had him killed, but God raised him from the dead. And that God exalted him in order to grant, that is to give, right, repentance and forgiveness of sins. Isn't that interesting, right? We often see forgiveness of sins as a gift, absolutely. Do we see repentance as a gift? This is one of the gifts that comes from our encounter with the risen Lord. Perhaps Peter highlights this because of his own experience, his own denying Jesus at the moment of his suffering and death. But the overpowering experience of his reunion with Jesus on the shore of the sea, of his receiving that pardon, receiving that love in the midst of his own brokenness and sin, is so overwhelming that he sees it as a gift. Not just the gift of being forgiven by the Lord, but the gift of sincere repentance. It was something liberating for him. The fact that he could look Jesus in the eye and know that he was truly sorry, know that he truly regretted what he had done, was the thing that opened his heart to receive the encounter with Jesus and his forgiveness. So repentance is a gift, not just forgiveness. Have you ever asked for that gift from God? The gift of sincere repentance. You know, a lot of times in our sin, we have a kind of repentance, but perhaps not total contrition, not as sincere as it could be. Right? We're often, well, I wish I had done that better. And that's true, that's a form of regret. Or we just said, well, given the circumstances, I guess I could have done a lot worse, even though I'm ashamed of what I did. Or we say, well, I'll just try to do better next time. Or, I regret that. You know, we all have these elements or forms of repentance. But if we ever ask for the gift of true, sincere, complete sorrow and repentance of our sins, a genuine contrition that gives us this total desire to turn away from sin, to be transformed in Christ, just as St. Peter was. We can just imagine Peter looking Jesus in the eye. Peter, who knew Jesus better than anyone, who knew what Jesus was asking of him better than anyone, and how he had failed him, how in his cowardice he had turned away from him and denied him. Now on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, looking him in the eye, him who had died for him, what would his heart have been full of? We can see in him what true repentance is. Hating the choice that he has made because it was wrong and because Jesus was deserving of all of his love, all of his devotion, all of his obedience. A true repentance. He sees it as a gift. He proclaims it as a gift to the people of Jerusalem. You know, if we ask for and receive this gift of sincere repentance, true contrition of heart, it helps us in many ways. It helps us avoid indifference in our spiritual life. Oh, it's not a big deal. We are so used to saying. It helps us take responsibility for what we have done. It reminds us that we do have a high call, and that the Lord continues and insistently invites us to live up to it, just as He continually and insistently presses upon Peter with that question, "Do you love me?" And if we receive the sincere repentance, it leads us to seek reconciliation with the Lord, to truly be united with Him once again after our sin, which includes, or perhaps is especially true in the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of reconciliation. In a sense, this is what we're seeing happening here with Peter and our Lord Jesus. Secondly, true repentance helps us to avoid sin. Right? If we truly feel that pain and that sorrow of our sins, we don't want to feel pain and sorrow. And it will help us to avoid sin. Thirdly, it will help us to be more compassionate and more receptive to those who feel sorrow for their sins around us. We'll be less likely to be like the older brother to the prodigal son. We will be more likely to see that movement of repentance as a grace and gift of God, and to want to help others through it to encounter the powerful mercy of our Lord. And finally, receiving that true gift of repentance, we'll be able to testify to the greatness and power of God's forgiveness more completely, precisely because we know truly the pain that sin causes. This is part of why Peter's preaching was so effective, because he knew the pain he had caused by his sins. But he knew the abundant, overwhelming generosity of our Lord Jesus and the forgiveness that he offered to him. Peter went about the whole city proclaiming the truth of the death and resurrection of Jesus, and that he offers these gifts, repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Let us ask for true and sincere repentance for our own sins, that we might encounter the power and the transforming activity of God's grace and mercy shown to us in Jesus Christ.